So this is our second week of the prayer and fasting. And the thing about prayer and fasting is that it sets the tone for the rest of the year. You may have never done fasting before, but one thing I'll tell you is this. I have never heard anyone come to me and say, I've been fasting and it's been terrible. Or I've been fasting and nothing's happened. Every single person who's ever come and spoken about fasting has always testified about the goodness of God, about the miracles of God, about hearing God for themselves. It's always been a positive experience. And I find the only thing that really stops us from doing regular fasting is just the fear for me, fear of hunger, right? Because when you're fasting, all of a sudden you are deprived of those things that keep your soul satisfied. For some people, or for most people, it's food. But for some people, it's social media. For some people, it's work. Because some people are workaholics. I don't know what it is for you, but it's different for every person. And that's what fasting is about in this era that we're in. It's not about being religious. It's about stopping. It's about saying, okay, I want to pay attention to God. I want to hear God for myself. So prayer and fasting lays the foundation for how we experience the year. It's about three things for me. One, creating room for God in our lives. Two, creating the atmosphere to hear God. And finally, remaining in a posture of humility that will allow us to stay connected to God. That's what it's about. Change and growth, if we're going to experience change and growth in 2023, we have to create room for God. We have to create room for God. You know, we all live such busy lives. Most people, if you ask them, how have you been? Busy. How's your week been? Busy. How's life? Busy. Chaotic, right? And sometimes busy can become such a buzzword and almost seem like it's a good thing. But sometimes we're busy because we make ourselves busy. We just can't stay still. We need to be busy. But are we productive? Are we effective? And I know for me, even though I get busy, I get days where I feel like something is missing. There's a longing to know more, to seek God more, to worship Him more. And quite often, the only thing I can think of is I need to fast. You know, we all struggle with different things, but if we are going to create room for God, there's certain things we have to put in place. Number one, I believe that we have to slow down our pace. You may be busy because that's just the life that God has chosen for you, but sometimes you're busy because you're distracting yourself. So you have to make a decision that I'm going to slow down my pace. And the thing is, for most of us, we don't even know how to do that. We don't know how to slow down our pace. And that's where fasting comes in, because it allows you to short circuit the way that your life is going. So whenever you find that things are too much, you're feeling overwhelmed, you don't know whether to go left or right, that might be your cue that it's time to fast. That's not to say there's something magical about fasting, although I think it is, but really, fasting works because it causes you to stop and it causes you to focus on God and not on yourself. So one, we have to slow down our pace if we're going to create room for God. Secondly, we have to get rid of our old ways that no longer serve us. You know, we are creatures of habit and there are things that we are used to doing in a certain way because it works for us. But what worked for me when I was 10 years old is not going to work when I'm 20, it's not going to work when I'm 30, it's not going to work when I'm 80. We have to get rid of old ways of doing things. And sometimes we don't know what those old ways are because we've always done things a certain way. We think that that's normal. Once again, that's where prayer and fasting comes in, because you have to go to God and say, show me. And I think some of us are afraid to say, show me, because we know that God will show you. He will show you what things are not working, what things shouldn't be there. Because the reality is, just because something is good, just because you enjoy something, it doesn't mean that it should be there. Pastor Stephen spoke a few weeks ago about blind Bartimaeus and how he got rid of the cloak that signified that he was a beggar. We take on certain identities. He spoke about self-imposed and other imposed identities, right? The things that we walk around with which are not God identities. Yet he talked about getting rid of that. We get rid of that so that we can move forward. So we have to get rid of old ways that don't serve us. And then he went on to talk about the importance of actually seeking help. Sometimes it's more than just saying, God, help me. God uses people. He uses mentors, coaches, your connect group leader, your friends, a therapist. He uses so many different people. But you have to be willing to say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. So my challenge is that quite often I get all these ideas, literally, so many ideas, and I get excited about the ideas because I think I have to act on every single one of them all at once. That's a problem. I've even questioned myself about, do I have ADHD? Right? Because you get all these ideas and you're like, okay, I gotta do that and I gotta do that. So there's so many things that happen and you spread yourself thin. You get overwhelmed. And I wonder for you this morning whether you have experienced that or if you are experiencing that, where you're in this place of confusion, so many ideas in your head and you don't know whether to go left or right. You don't know what your next step is. You're involved in church. You're involved in Connect Group. You're praying, you're fasting, you're serving, but you still feel like there should be something else that you're doing. What is your next? Removing the old ways of doing things and working out what your next thing is are a challenge, but that's where God comes in. We always have to go back to God, at least if you are a believer. You have to go back to God because he's the source of all things. He is our creator. And in Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 8, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, this is Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. Alas, it's like a sense of grief. He had a sense of grief. It's like, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. He was disturbed. But the Lord said to him, to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and rescue you, says the Lord. Now, you may not say, I am too young. You might say something else. I am too old. I am the wrong gender. I am the wrong race. The list goes on and on and on. But this is really about the limitations that we place on ourselves, the reasons that we give for why we will not step into something that we believe God is calling us to. But in his response to Jeremiah, God was establishing a few things. He was establishing, number one, his authority. He was also outlining his expectations on Jeremiah, and then he was stating his promise to him. His authority saying, I formed you. I set you apart. God has an authority over your life. And when he says, I formed you, I set you apart, he's saying, you are different. You are not like the next person standing or sitting next to you. And then he outlines his expectations by saying that you have been appointed, you have an assignment as a prophet, and so my expectation is that you will obey. You see, the thing about obedience is you cannot obey in part. If God says, this is what I want you to do, I want you to give so-and-so $200. And then you give them $199.99. Is that obedience? No. You cannot partly agree. And we can't define obedience according to our standards. It has to be according to God's standard, because the word of God is our ultimate authority, not our thoughts, not what we are sensing or what we feel. And then finally, God outlines his promise. He says, "For I am with you and will rescue you." If you look throughout the Bible, God has never asked his servants to do things because the servants are capable. He's always asked them to do something because he is capable, because he has the ability, he has the authority. "I am the Lord your God. I will be with you. Tell them that I am sent you." Everything has always gone back to who God is. But I think sometimes we get confused when God asks us to do something because we think it means we have to master the strength to do that thing. But it's never been about us. Certainly in my experience, I'm naturally a shyish person. I don't like to speak in public. I would rather stand backwards. But over and over and over, I've always felt God says, "I want you to speak that. I want you to do that." Not in my own strength, because if it was up to me, I would just sit back and hide. That's my natural thing. So prayer and fasting allows us to clarify what our next step is. So if you are confused about what your next thing is, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your job, whatever it is, if you are confused, then prayer and fasting is for you. Don't overthink it. So first, we create room for God in our lives. The fact that you are in church right now means you have created room for God. You are interested in having God in your life. Nobody dragged you to church. Well, in some instances, it may have happened. But generally, when you are in church, it's because you wanted to come to church. Right? But the next thing is we have to create an atmosphere. It's not enough to create room. You have to create an atmosphere to hear God. Without obstructions, without things that stop us from hearing God, from seeing God, from perceiving God, we have to remove those things. Sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, every single time I'm in the car and my kids come in with earphones on, it really gets on my nerves. I can't stand it. Part of that is generational, part of it is cultural, right? But I just think just respect. But also, you can't hear what's happening in the environment you're in if you've got things blocking your entry points. If you've got something blocking your vision. If you've got things that are stopping you from hearing properly. And so I often ask them to remove that, you know, so that they can hear. You're not going to be able to hear what God has to say if your ears are blocked, when you're distracted by something else. So we have to remove the things that block, but we also have to reduce the noise and the volume of things around you. You have to remove them. And God has to be your only focus. His voice has to be your only focus. You know, sometimes people will have, I know I've done this, you're listening to 10 preachers, you're in a season where you're listening to 10 different preachers, 15 podcasts, six YouTubers, like everywhere. You're going to every conference that's been advertised, everything, you're there. And usually for people it's because they have FOMO, fear of missing out. But here's the problem. When you do that, you don't know which voice you're listening to. You don't know what voice has authority over your life. But God's voice has to be the authority. You may have 10 different preachers that are speaking the word of God. So that's not what I'm talking about. It is the word of God. But is it the word of God for the season of life that you are in? Because you have to take that into consideration. For the season of life that I'm in, is this where God wants me? Is this what God wants me to be hearing? Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong. I do it all the time, listening to different people, right? But you have to know what season you're in and focus on only God's voice for your season. You also have to address what impacts your physical well-being and your soul, so your mind, your emotions, your personality. Because those things will affect your spirit. Your spirit doesn't get a chance. It will not get a chance. Because we're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. And we connect with God at the level of our spirit. It's hard to connect with what God is saying when all other areas are in trouble. For example, being tired, we have to manage our fatigue, our tiredness. Being stressed, we have to manage our stress. Being in toxic relationships, we have to manage that. And living in sin, you have to manage that. All those things impact our ability to create an atmosphere to hear God. And the thing is, the atmosphere we create is affected by the level of intimacy that we have. The type of relationship that you have with someone determines the level of intimacy you have with them. Right now, you're sitting next to someone. You may or may not be related to them, but that determines the level of intimacy of that relationship. If somebody is your brother, it's different from if you are married to that person. It's different to if you are friends. It determines the level of intimacy. However, the level of intimacy in a relationship also depends on certain things. For example, intentionality. How intentional are you in that relationship? Trust. What's the trust factor? And showing up. Are you actually present in that relationship? So the question is this: how intentional are you and I in creating an atmosphere of intimacy with God? Sometimes we can be too passive. We're saying, well, if God wants to do something, he will do something. But you have to be intentional about seeking God in your life. Secondly, how trusting are we that God is not out to just control our lives? Like, you know, I think Pastor Stephen was saying that sometimes when we first give our lives to Christ, there may be that fear that I'm not going to be able to do the things I used to do. Sometimes we hold on to things. You see, there's a difference between God being our Savior and God being Lord. Everyone who's ever given their lives to Christ has a Savior in Christ. But just because he's Savior doesn't mean he's Lord of your life. For him to be Lord of my life, I have to have given him that area of my life. Some of us hold on. We give him our church life, our Sunday. But we don't give him our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, up to Saturday. We don't give him our finances. We don't give him our relationships. So prayer and fasting allows us to create an atmosphere of intimacy. If we are intentional, if we are trusting that God's not trying to control, and if we are willing to be present. So I want to ask you this question. Right now, where you're sitting, what is your frustration? Because I believe at any given time, one of us is going through something that somebody else has just experienced or is about to experience. So what is your frustration? What is your need? What is your anxiety? What is your worry? Because God is in the business of giving guidance. He's in the business of giving specific instructions, and he is in the business of correction. He corrects, but he only does that if we submit ourselves to his will, not if we don't, because he doesn't force himself on us. We have a choice. When I was 21 years old, I was in a relationship with my now husband, and I remember it was hectic. The relationship was just crazy, you know. We're both very hard-headed, stubborn. I was very insecure, confused. I had my doubts. I didn't know whether we'd ever get married. We were always breaking up. It was a crazy type relationship. Did you say I was? All right. It was crazy. But something kept us together. Right? But we didn't know. We didn't know where we were going with the relationship. Because relationships can be quite complex. They can be quite complex. And so I found myself one day in this moment of prayer, deep prayer, I called it. And I was seeking God and I was worshiping God and I was listening to music, worship music. And I felt the Lord say, turn off the radio. And that happened about three times where I was hearing, turn off the radio, turn off. And I didn't want to. So I didn't listen, of course, because of my stubbornness. But the third time I turned off the radio and I said, speak, Holy Spirit. I was being very spiritual. Speak, Holy Spirit. And in that moment, I felt God speak some things into my heart. And I knew it was God because it went the exact opposite to what I would have thought. Because I would have thought God would have said, yeah, you know, he's lucky to have you. You know, you're the best thing that's happened to him since sliced bread. You know, the whole thing. But that's not what God spoke into my heart in that moment. What I heard was, first of all, God reminding me that I am God alone in your life. What I heard was that I am the God of the universe and I'm the God of every man. And what I heard was, why do you doubt me? And I heard the Lord said, I brought you to this land of Australia. And I felt God challenge me that the way that I was expressing my emotion was rebellion. Because he said, the way your worry and your fears go against me. And I heard him say that what you do with your emotions is idolatry. And I heard the Lord said, I am a jealous God. Put your trust in me. And I heard him say, I will take care of your future. Do not worry about your relationship with Stephen. And the last words were, you need to spend time with me. And so I rested in my soul. Jeremiah 36, verse 1 to 9 says this. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah till now. Perhaps when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, they will each turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. So Jeremiah called Baruch, son of Neriah. And while Jeremiah dictated all the words the Lord had spoken to him, Baruch wrote them on the scroll. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I am restricted. I am not allowed to go to the Lord's temple. So you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Read them to all the people of Judah who come in from their towns. Read them to everyone who comes in. Perhaps they will bring their petition before the Lord and will each turn from their wicked ways, perhaps. For the anger and wrath pronounced against this people by the Lord are great. There's some key things here. Number one, when God instructed Jeremiah to take a scroll and write, he was saying, I need you to set time aside to hear my plans for the nation. Prayer and fasting allows us to set time to focus on the plans that God has for us. God is concerned about the nations. God is concerned about whether the nations are aligned with his purposes. And so he's saying, perhaps when the people hear, they will turn from their wicked ways. He's saying, perhaps Australia, perhaps Botswana, perhaps Zimbabwe, perhaps Nigeria, whatever country you're from, perhaps they will turn. God wants us to bring petitions to him, our pleas, our requests for mercy. And he is hopeful because he says, maybe. This really struck me. It says, maybe they will. Meaning God is looking at his people and saying, well, I don't know whether they will or they won't, but perhaps. And so I believe that God really desires that we come to him. Finally, we have to remain in a posture of humility. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God has the ability and willingness to forgive sins and to heal lands. Humility says, I surrender all. Humility says, I will ask questions. I will ask for forgiveness. I will open myself up to learn. I will listen. I will obey. Prayer and fasting speaks the language of humility. It opens up the door for forgiveness and healing. Because there are things in our lives, in our nations, in our families that need healing. Every single one of us here can identify an area in our lives that needs healing. We can identify a nation. We start with Australia. We need healing. Whatever other country you identify with, we need healing. So, seek God first. I will get the band called Elta to come up. Thanks, Elta. There's these cards. You get these cards. You have them? Yep, there's these cards. Susan will pass those. This is for you to take with you and to just really reflect on that scripture there and use that guide. Day 1, 2, and 3. So there's 3 days there of fasting. Zoom link, as it's been said. The main thing to say about the fasting is this. You get to choose. You may never have fasted before. So don't put pressure on yourself to do, but ask God. That's the whole idea. Ask God to give you the strength. There's different types of fasting. There's an absolute fast where you have absolutely nothing. No water, no food, no drink. But then there's a regular fast where you just have water and nothing else. And then there's a partial fast. The Daniel fast was a type of partial fast. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day is you make a decision in faith to engage in fasting. So, last thing, I'll get you all to stand up. Whichever way you choose to do this, practice something called listening prayer. Listening prayer means that you don't just go to God and tell him every single thing that's wrong that you need him for. It means you speak and then you give an opportunity to him to speak. Find a spot somewhere. Get a journal. Get a pen. Have an expectant heart. Expect to hear. God will speak to you. Not many can say they've heard the audible voice of God. But God speaks in so many different ways. In a whisper, you sense something in your spirit. He gives visions. He gives dreams. He gives pictures. Whatever it is, sit there and wait. Don't be afraid to ask God questions. Don't think God will be offended by your emotions, your anger, your frustration. Just give him a chance.